Right now, though, we turn our attention to netball. And with the Tiny Jemison Trophy up for grabs, Silver Ferns are staring down the barrel at a series defeat against England, and tonight have no other option but to win when they take on the Roses in Porirua. It's a trophy that certainly means a lot to the Silver Ferns in Netball New Zealand, but the stakes are exceptionally high following what has been an extended run of concerning form for our number one side. Former players and coaches have queried whether there is a hard enough edge to our domestic scene preparing the top players for the modern test arena. It's a notion Dame Nolene Tauroa doesn't disagree with, saying herself, "We're only playing against ourselves in the ANZ, so we get used to one style, but when another style comes out, our ability to adapt on court sometimes eludes us." To discuss, we are delighted to welcome into the program Mr. Stephen Hoddy. He is Netball New Zealand's Head of High Performance. Stephen, how are you doing today?
Very good, thanks, Dan. How about yourself?
Yeah, not bad, mate. Lovely to hear your voice. Hope you and the family are well. Let's start off, though, with maybe a review process, if any, since the Netball World Cup, where you finished in fourth position. Don't need me to remind you of that. How has that process been, looking back at that sort of underwhelming World Cup result?
Yeah, well, we have gone through a process. We're just about winding that up with the findings to come out that we'll have a look at shortly. The players have all been interviewed, management have all been interviewed, we've done online debriefs and obviously did a pre-brief leading into the tournament, so it's been pretty thorough. yeah, you're right, it wasn't what we wanted, and barring sort of 4 minutes against England, it could have been a different result, but as we know, if you don't take those crucial times, you end up on the wrong side of the ledger, and that's what happened to us. So, yeah, disappointing. But as you said, just leading into this, we have to win tonight, and that's no different to any other game we play, really. So we've just got to get out there, and our focus really is on tonight and then on Saturday as well.
Yeah, I know the focus is on tonight, but was there any indication to you of any choppy waters leading up to the World Tournament or throughout?
Oh, if I'm honest, I think we had the best team we could pick there, definitely, and we were confident leading in to that tournament that, you know, we had success in 2019 and we could go there and replicate that. So while we may not have had quite the same level of experience in the squad that we had in 2019, that was still a good squad, and we did feel going in that we had a good chance as any to take it out. So there were a couple of things that were obviously played out over there that didn't help us. We certainly, Grace's injury wasn't something that we would have wanted. And just on court, some of our decision-making or execution at crucial times wasn't as crisp as it could have been. So that's really what cost us over there. And yeah, everyone was quite disappointed coming home from that. So, but you know, international netball, you've got to quickly change your focus and look forward, and the review will take care of itself. But yeah, tonight's a big one.
Yesterday we had Lisa Alexander on the show, and you don't need me to point out, you know, what a story career she's had coaching the Diamonds in Australia. So much success. And on this program, she didn't think that the team, the Silver Ferns that is, was suddenly significantly worse than previously, but that maybe they just didn't take this English Roses side seriously enough in test number one because of the players that weren't in the dress, if you know what I mean, for England. Do you think there is merit to that?
Oh, look, I'd hope not. We know that every game's an important game, and our job doesn't change as a Silver Ferns unit. Against, you know, doesn't, regardless of who we're playing, our job's to win the game. And so that doesn't change. And yet there was a little bit of talk about who England were bringing out and who they weren't bringing out. But ultimately, I feel like we prepared to win that game. But, you know, we started a bit flat. We finished quite strong. So the trick is to play the full 60 minutes like we played the last 15, really. But as I say, we have to win every game we play, and that's just international sport. So, yeah, who knows what was going on subconsciously, but I would hope that we all went out there with the view to win the game, and I'm sure we did.
Well, there was plenty of talk about a depleted English side, and maybe those, including us in the media, have a bit of egg on our face. Maybe we didn't recognise the depth in English netball as well. But when you factor in that result, the depth England have, the World Cup, is it a case maybe of other teams catching up to the Silver Ferns versus the Ferns going backwards? You know, how would you judge that?
I definitely think there's a bit of that. And you look at Uganda, for instance, as another example, not just the top four, but Uganda was strong at the World Cup. Obviously, South Africa was strong against us at the World Cup. I genuinely think that the quality of international play is getting better. And we just need to stay ahead of the bunch. And so, yes, I agree. I don't necessarily think that we were significantly worse in any facet of the game, but I do think the opposition are getting better, and how we stay at the front of the pack is the big question for us moving forward.
Well, let's talk about development and feeding into the Silver Ferns. You want a constant sort of stream of players knocking on the door, if you will. So ultimately, how much of this comes back to how much we can spend on development, and maybe you can give us an idea of what investment looks like underneath the Ferns at the moment?
Well, yeah, I mean, the development is crucial. And right now, I suppose our development pathway works through the step in is through ANZ Premiership. So you've got to be performing at ANZ Premiership level. And then feeding into that, we have the league below, the Synergy Here League, which, one or two players every year move from that into ANZ through each franchise. But there is only a certain, as you alluded to, a certain amount of money that can be spent. And so we have to be wise on where we're spending that and how we're developing those. And the pathway is not only for the athlete, but it's also for the coaches as well. So you won't have great athletes if you don't have great coaches. And part of that pathway through ANZ and below, and even, we've got a under-21s tournament coming up in Gibraltar in 25, so there'll be players going to that will get international exposure, albeit at a lower level. But we're investing into that to ensure that we have a good chance of taking that tournament out. So it's the pathway's there for the athletes. I was chatting yesterday to someone around the ANZ, and I think there's probably work we can do in the ANZ to make that competition a stronger competition, and that will be looked at over the next short time.
I want to talk about the ANZ now. In 2016, Netball New Zealand and your Australian counterparts announced the ANZ Championship had run its course. It ended a 9-year trans-Tasman partnership, which will both countries move back to standalone domestic comps. When I look across Australia, I see a lot of Jamaicans playing in that competition, and I think that's been to a massive benefit of the national team. I don't think we've done enough to fill that void in our high-performance program. Would you agree with that?
It's a good point. I think we could do more in terms of a New Zealand A program to help bridge the gap between ANZ and international. So that's something that's on our radar. I think if you commit like Jamaica largely do, your whole high-performance program to another country, i.e. immerse your players in Australia, I think there's detriment to your own program domestically. So I'm not convinced we need to have a massive outflux, if you like, of players going over to the SC now to play. But I think that we need to review more what we do at home in the first instance. But we're in conversations with Australia regularly. The relationship there is good. And so where we head to over the next couple of years in terms of our ANZ and what that looks like is up for discussion at the moment.
Looking more holistically at the landscape of women's sport, which has become far more professional in recent times, how hard is it to already keep the talented female athletes in netball when they can earn elsewhere? Have you got the funds to keep the next wave of talent in the sport? Is that, I guess, proving to be a bit of a challenging landscape?
Obviously the profile of the Football World Cup was fantastic here, and women's rugby has had a great profile over the last 12 months with the World Cup as well. Our numbers at this point haven't dropped, and we do have a long legacy in New Zealand of successful netball, and we're heading into 100 years of netball next year. And I think while it's a good one around the money, but that's not the only piece of the puzzle, I don't think. I think how you treat your players is a big part of it, and the competition you can provide and the exposure you can provide is all part of it. And like I say, we do have a legacy here of netball in New Zealand, and it's one of the big three sports, really, if you like, and rugby, cricket, netball, that New Zealanders hold close to heart. So at this point in time, I think we haven't seen a change in the numbers, and we'll be doing our best to make sure that we stay at the front of the pack in terms of women's sport in this country.
Stephen Hodder is with us, High Performance Director out of Netball New Zealand. A couple more before I let you go here, Stephen. From a performance and results lens, it would be, I don't know if unforgivable is too dramatic a word, to lose the series against England. As you've said earlier, you want to win every game. The demand is to win every game. How much pressure would go on the coaching group if it didn't go their way? Are they as untouchable as I think as many people believe they are?
Yes, look, like you say, we're here to win every game, and certainly in the camp over the last few days, we're under no illusions that it wouldn't be a great thing to lose the series. So I don't believe anyone's untouchable, but our focus is firmly on tonight and then on Saturday. We've just got to do our job over the next few days and come out the other side, and then look towards the Constellation Cup, which is also going to be a massive challenge, noting that they're world champs again. The game last week was a tough one to take, and we've all looked in the mirror very, very hard, and we need to prepare better.
Appreciate your time, Hots. Tonight at Porirua, you're going to have a fervent home crowd and support can help drive them over the line. And that's probably a message to those going to that arena. Make it loud, make it intimidating.
That'd be great if they could. That'd be awesome. Yeah.
Stephen, appreciate your time. Go well.
No worries. Thank you very much.